Amen. Thank you, Brother Mark. Romans chapter number 2. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For though that judgest doest the same things, for we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doeth the same, thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness, of forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Thank you for standing tonight. I want to talk a little bit about the judgmental attitude of a hypocrite tonight. And, of course, we all know what a hypocrite is. It's an imposter, or one that's acting things out. Here Paul is writing to religious hypocrites. There are a lot of those in our day and hour. They want to stick their finger at somebody, but they forget that it's for pointing back at who they are. You'll notice this in the reading. Don't know if you ever noticed this or not, but it said in verse number 1, it says, "You're inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things." Now, first of all, let's look at this judgment by the hypocrite described. Isn't it something that Paul took up a whole chapter on being judgmental? I think it's very easy that we as born-again Christians become judgmental if we're not careful. I want to cover that with a few scriptures this evening, but focusing mainly on the judgment by the hypocrite described. Now, notice this, how the hypocrite feels. They feel like that everybody else is wrong, but they're doing the same things. And so that's how the hypocrite feels. You know, it's easy a lot of times to point out somebody else's faults but not see your own. And he says in verse 2, "We're sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things." Now, you'll notice in verses 1 through 2, there's the temptation of judging. Many people, many times, are tempted to judge. We know the Bible teaches us, though, however, that we can judge the tree by the fruit that it bears. And instead of us being so judgmental, we can know what kind of fruit that we're putting forth or that others are putting forth. But I want you to look at this, not only this temptation of being judgmental, of maybe thinking others to be wrong and not looking at what we're doing, but look at this text of judging. Look what Jesus said about having a judgmental attitude. In Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 1, let's look what the Lord wrote down concerning these scriptures of the text of judging. And He says this in Matthew 7, underline this, said, "To help you, judge not that you be not judged." Or don't pass judgment. Now, to judge, I looked that up today, and it simply means this: to condemn, to conclude, or to sentence to. In other words, you're to be the judge and the jury. We're to be careful about that. Jesus said, Matthew 7, 1, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, 'Let me pull out the mote of thine own eye'? Behold, a beam is thine own eye, thou hypocrite. First cast out the beam out of thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Now, I want us to go over to Luke chapter number 15. Let's look at a real judgmental person tonight, found over in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 15. And there's one of the greatest pages in Luke 15 where we find there the sheep that had drifted, the silver that had been dropped, the son that had departed, but the sibling that was despiteful. And here is Jesus is saying, be careful and don't be a hypocrite. Let's look at this elder brother of what he concluded about the prodigal son. Now, they both were from the same family. They both were brothers. And in Luke 15 and verse number 25, remember that the prodigal son took his journey, found himself in a citizen of another country. He found himself in some very, very bad places, but he came to himself and came back to the father's house. And I will say something tonight. There's nothing like being right at the father's house. And so, aren't you glad that we've got a God that'll let you get back close at the Father's house? And so, we find in verse 25, when he got home, the elder brother, he's a hypocrite. And he simply says this, now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And you know, when he heard that, something riled up in him. He got jealous. He got envious. He called one of the servants in verse 26 and asked what these things meant. He said unto him, thy brother's come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And now we see sort of a hypocritical attitude start to rise, and this thing of jealousy start to mount up in his heart. The Bible said in 28, he was angry and would not go in. Now, he could have went in, but he wouldn't go in. That's a lot like a lot of Christians tonight. They could go in to where the Father's at, but they choose to stay out on the porch because they got a bad attitude. Now, he would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him, and answered and said to his father, lo, these many years, watch this, underline this, do I serve thee. Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Well, he was lying right there. And yet thou never gave us, here it is, me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son, he wouldn't even call him his brother, wouldn't even acknowledge that he was kin to him. But he said, your son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots. Thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And so we see this attitude that has arisen in this elder brother. And you say, well, why do you bring that up tonight? I will say it's easy to be judgmental of somebody else until you've been there yourself. And so we need to be careful in how that we judge people. We see this temptation of judging. He said, it's easy for you to talk about somebody but do the same things that they're doing. And then the text of judging, Jesus said in Matthew 7, but also turn with me to Romans 14 tonight in this text of judging. And let's look at what the Lord says secondly upon this topic. Romans 14 and verse number 3. Romans 14 and verse number 3. Now, notice this text of judging. Who art thou that, or in verse 4, that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yeah, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doeth not regard it. That eateth and he eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. Verse 7, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live in the Lord, and whether we die in the Lord. And whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And I think as a Christian tonight that we shouldn't be so judgmental of other people and what they're doing and maybe what they're saying, because maybe we don't know both sides of the coin. I want to warn you tonight to always listen to the whole story. There's some people that's good that'll come running to you and tell you their side, but what about the other side? And so it's always easier, like Daddy used to say, you know, everybody knows how to handle the batter, they get a hold of it. But you always remember this, we're going to stand before God as individuals. We're going to give an account of what we're doing in this body, whether it been good or it be bad. Now let's look back in Romans chapter number 2 and let's look at the main theme of why Paul was really writing this. He's talking about a religious hypocrite or one that's never even been saved. In other words, he's saying they're sort of putting other people as the mark instead of Christ. You know, if you'll maybe pick me out or somebody else and you start gauging your life toward us, you may think you're doing pretty good, but let me tell you, you've got the wrong rule of measure in order. Now, I'm your preacher tonight, and I've got faults, and I try to live close to the Lord, but I'm not perfect. And if you set your goals to be like me, well, let me tell you something. That's not arriving. You've got to set your sights to be like Christ. And so, therefore, we cannot look at each other to see how we're doing. The best mark for you to see how you're doing tonight is not an individual, but the Lord Jesus. You see, when we look at what He's a-doing and what He's a-saying and what He thinks about it, there's the rule of measure of how we're to measure where we're staying. I'll be honest with you, I could probably put my life up against most here tonight and do pretty good. But I'm going to tell you something. Do I love my neighbor? Do I react in ways that the Lord would be pleased with? You know, if I was to look at some others, I'd be doing pretty good. But when I look at this book and who Jesus is, then there's your goal. There's what you need to be putting yourself up beside. Don't be looking at somebody and say, well, I'm doing pretty good considering to them. They may be the wrong target. Amen. Because nothing from nothing, still you ain't got nothing. And so, now, Paul, he's talking about this judgmental attitude of a hypocrite that's not even saved. And let's look what he says now. There's this judgment by the hypocrite described what the hypocrite feels. Now, he feels like he's doing pretty good when he looks at somebody else. But then, let's look at what this hypocrite finds. Look in verse 3. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Let me tell you, you can't live good enough to go to heaven. You can't read enough Bible to go to heaven. You can't give enough money away to go to heaven. You must be born again. It don't matter what you think. It don't even matter what you wrote down. We got to go by the policy of this Bible. He said you must be born again. The Spirit of God's got to deal with our heart. We've got to cry out to Him as a sinner and come to Him by faith. And the Bible said He'd save us. And Paul said, if you're looking to get there any other way, you're on a dead-end road and you'll never get to the heaven that he's a-going to. Now, tonight, this what this hypocrite finds. He finds himself being so judgmental, but he doeth the same thing. You know, in that day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they had a big form of religion. And I'm going to tell you something. Religion makes Jesus sick. You hear me tonight? America's got religion. Buddha is a religion. Muhammad is a religion. But let me tell you something. Jesus is interested in salvation. And so he said that how the hypocrite feels, but what the hypocrite finds. And then in verse 4, look what the hypocrite forgets. He said, are you despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? We better never forget where we've come from. Without the grace of God, we'd all be in hell tonight. There's none of us that deserve to go to heaven. Jesus took the place for us. And by Him is the only way that we're getting there tonight. And boy, this hypocrite forgets that the long suffering of God leads them to repentance. And then he says this, what the hypocrite faces. Look in verse 5 and 6. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart. What's that, preacher? That's a heart that stayed hard, that's never turned toward God and done stuff their way. He said, they treasurest up in thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Now, that's the judgment by the hypocrite described. But now let's notice on the judgment on the hypocrite described. You know, people live in this world just like they're going to go to sleep one day and all wake up in heaven. Seem like the way people live, they just think it's no payday someday. But let's look at this judgment on the hypocrite described. Now, in verses 7 through 10, notice this tonight in the Bible, they'll be judged according to their works. The Bible says, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But of them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. Matter of fact, a lot of the writers, if you'll study after them from Romans 2, they'll tell you why Paul wrote this. Because the Jews felt like they had an upper seat above the Gentiles. They felt like, just because they were the chosen people, that they had a right to get there any old way they wanted to get there, and the Gentiles could never get there. But aren't you glad that we all stand even at the foot of Calvary tonight? God don't see skin color. God don't see hair color. God don't even see eye color. God looks on the heart. And I sure am glad one day that the Jews rejected Jesus, because when they did, He turned to the Gentiles. And you know who we are? We're Gentile dogs. Don't get to thinking too high of yourself. It went for the grace of God, we'll all be in hell tonight. But I sure am glad that He loved us enough to die for us. And so He's calling these religious people out and saying, listen, don't forget about this judgment that's described to you too. They're going to be judged according to their works in verse 10. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Verse 11, for there is no respect of persons with God. So they're judged according to their works. Then look in verse number 11. And 12, for as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. And as many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to His gospel. Now, you know, Jesus said that He didn't come to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. You see, this book is going to judge sinners. This book is going to judge us according to the way this Bible is written. Not what we think, but according to the Word of God is how that we will be judged. Now, Paul's talking simply about those that live by the law. He said, okay, if you live by the law, you're going to die by the law because you can't keep the law. And he said, then you Gentiles that's never had the law, he said, you had the light of conscience. What have you done with it? Somebody said, well, let me ask you this. How much light does it take to get saved? Well, just a little bit of light sure does make a lot of darkness go away. And I believe with all my heart this Bible teaches if a man wants light, God will give him light. Matter of fact, He said, walk while you have light, lest darkness suddenly find you. You know, a lot of times Jesus will give a sinner a little bit of light, then it's up to that sinner whether they act upon the light. Many times lost people's come and sat down, they've heard the gospel preached. What is the gospel? It's the death and burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we're saved by grace through faith, not of works. We can't work our way in, but we sure can be saved in by the good grace of God. Now look at your Bible tonight in Romans chapter number 3 and verse 21. I want you to mark this, and I want you to get this down and really understand this tonight. In Romans 3 and 21, Paul said, if you live by the law, you'll die of the law. And he said, even though you haven't lived by the law, if you've got a little light, you've got to come to that light. And so therefore, Paul is not teaching that we're saved by works. And let me show you this in the Bible. Paul was simply teaching to the religious hypocrites, those that had never been saved. But I want you to look now in Romans 3, what he says in verse number 23. Let's look what it says. How many? For all, say that with me, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, if you're trying to live good enough by the law, the Bible says you're going to come short. Remember, there's nothing wrong with the law. It's something was wrong with us. Verse 24. Being justified. There's a great word. Justified. It means to be declared innocent. Being justified. Not have been, but a continual process. This thing of being saved is an amazing thing. Being justified freely, look, by His grace. You say, well, preacher, I'm doing pretty good. I'm going to go to heaven my way. If it don't line up to this Bible, you're going to go to hell. He says that we're justified freely by His grace through the redemption, look, that is not in a Baptist church, not in a Methodist church, not in a preacher, not in a pope, but in Christ Jesus. Is anybody glad they saved on a Wednesday? Anybody glad they in Christ Jesus tonight? He said we have the redemption. That's a ransom in full. It's been paid. That is in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you, everything is about Christ. People's looking for everything in the wrong places. You remember those were fishing and they rolled their nets in. Jesus said, let down your nets for a drought. They said, nevertheless, at thy word, we will let down the net. They caught a net full of fishes, and they got to the bank, and you know what they done? That they were searching for, they found out once they had it, it wasn't as important as who Jesus was. They left it all and give it to Jesus and followed Him. I'm going to tell you, at the end of this life, it ain't about the money. It ain't about the property. It's about the lovely, lovely Lamb of God. As John seen Him across the river and said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Let me tell you, if you're in Christ Jesus tonight, you've got everything. And if you're not in Christ Jesus, you ain't got anything. But I'm glad I'm in Him tonight. I'm glad I've been justified, born again by the good grace of God. I say hallelujah, what a Savior tonight. You see the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. That's a big word in the country. It means simply to appease or satisfy through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Here it is now, 27 and 28. Where is boasting then? Oh, it's excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith, look, without the deeds of the law. Oh my, I'm glad the law came, but I'm glad that it came as our schoolmaster. It showed us that we needed a Savior. And I sure am glad the grace of God saves us tonight. Well, there's nothing wrong with the law. It's perfect, and it's holy, and we need it in our lives. That law won't get us to heaven. We must be born again by the grace of God. Here Paul is writing to those religious hypocrites, looking down on others because they seem to be doing a little better, but they've never been saved. But on the second thing of that tonight that I wanted to point out to us. We're not to judge anybody. But we do know, amen, if it looks like an apple, it's an apple. If it's a grape, it's a grape. God's give us common sense for that. And oh, I'm going to tell you something. I sure am glad that the works of the law don't get us saved the way those religious Pharisees think. But I sure am glad by the sweet grace of God. Isn't that amazing? And the whole, you know, Christmas has a theme. But a lot of times people lose the theme. It's not about gifts. It's not about going out on Black Friday and spending money you don't have. Let me tell you, it's about the lovely Son of God that was born for me and you to die in our place, that we don't have to die and go to hell. We can put our faith in Him. Let me tell you something, folks, tonight. If you got your faith in the Lord Jesus, you got everything tonight. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm in Christ Jesus. You know, folks can look at me and say, well, I'm doing pretty good. Well, you might ought to be looking at Him and seeing how good you are up compared to Him. Amen. Because, boy, He's the rule of measure. I appreciate y'all being here tonight. Stand with us if you would. Be praying for our services this Saturday. Boy, I'd love to see some young people get saved.